is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. I love preaching from Peter. And one of the reasons why is that, yeah, Peter, of all people, is such a regular guy. I mean, he's just like someone you would just walk up to and meet anywhere. I think that's one of the reasons why God used him in the way he did. And here's a guy who was like, you know, Lord Jesus, I love you so much. I'd do anything for you. I'd die for you. And then he turns around and I don't know him. You know, it's just... And because of that, I think that there are insights that Peter has that that can really speak to us. And we're going to go there in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for your word. We praise you for your people. We praise you for your spirit at work in your people. You are an amazing God, and you continually surprise us. And when we seek you and long for you, you surprise us more. And so we invite you, Lord, come, come. Sit with us and speak to us. About the wonder of your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have a question for you. If I tell you my secrets, will you still see me the same? Would you still love me? Because I have some. We all do, don't we? And the question is whether we are the kind of people that secrets are safe with. Really safe. The thing about secrets is that they have a way of getting out. Has that ever happened to you? When I was in college, I had a roommate who became a new believer while we were rooming together, and I kind of felt protective of him in that regard. He had had a bit of a past. He was a wealthy, good-looking guy who lived what he thought was the good life in Santa Barbara in the 80s. Until he met Jesus. And Jesus began to change things in his world. Now, there was a group of girls at our small Christian college who lived above us who weren't exactly ready to accept him because of his past. Even though he was trying to make a change, they weren't exactly kind to him. And this is where one of my secrets starts. One night I did a not exactly Christian thing and decided to pay them back for their unkindness with a bit of a prank. I was driving home late after midnight when I spied a skunk that had been hit by a car at the side of the road. And I did whatever, you know, whatever a college guy would do. I picked up the skunk, wrapped him in a towel, and brought him home with me. And then I got a rope and actually made a little noose and hung the already deceased skunk in the hall over their door so that when the effect was that when you opened it up, a very deceased Pepe Le Pew was hanging right in front of you. And about 2 a.m. in the morning, I pounded on their door and disappeared. And I don't know if you've ever seen a flying skunk before, but I did that night. I mean, he came outside and down the stairs. And the interesting thing about it was that nobody suspected me of it. And this nice, mild-mannered, you know, pastoral sort of guy, and they actually thought my roommate had done it as some kind of a strange ritual. And at that point, I had to make sure that the secret got out. But when it did, it's like, what? But you see, that's the issue, isn't it? Just what are any of us capable of? Now, before you ask how long I've been in the FBI relocation program, I'd like to ask you about your secrets. What about them? If they got out. I ask you this because churches are meant to be the kind of places that handle dirty laundry with great grace. Because we all have it. We all have to come to Jesus to get clean. But the truth is, even after we do, sometimes we still get stuck in the mud, right? And isn't that what Scripture says, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, jars of clay. So the question is whether we handle each other's weaknesses with kindness, all the while we are trying to turn from our sins. And not just each other's weaknesses, but in one sense, our own, the ones that no one knows about, that are just between us and Jesus, those ones that show you, as we talked about earlier, how far you have to go with Him, how much you have to learn. In other words, are you able to forgive yourself after the Lord has already forgiven you? Listen to this good word from Peter. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, who knew a thing or two about having his own dirty laundry aired out there for everyone to see. You'll find a lot of encouragement here. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. By the way, that is the absolute best reason to declare His praises, isn't it? I mean, that's the gospel right there, right? Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles in the world, that's what that means, strangers here, it's sometimes translated, to abstain from sinful desires which, note this, wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. I heard a story yesterday about a church fight in Korea that had grown so rancorous that they actually had to have the police come in to keep the peace. And in the middle of this church fight, the policeman, who was a Buddhist, said, "Why can't you people act like Christians?" Very insightful comment, and they didn't forget it. You see, to act like Christians, we have to remember certain things, and one of the things is how much we have been forgiven. But we don't stay in that place while we mourn our sins and what we've done. We don't stay in that place. Of beating ourselves up for them. We move forward into a new place of recognizing who our Savior is and following Him because He has forgiven us. The context of these words that Peter is sharing is that Peter, a Jew, is speaking to a group of non-Jews who were once not considered chosen by God in any way. And now through God's mercy, they are. There are people like us who have been called out of darkness into light and love and God's presence. But notice that they're still in a battle. That's why Peter tells them to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against their souls. So there are two realities at work. The one is they're a new creation in Jesus. They've been saved and they've been set free. But at the same time, they still struggle with that old sin nature that we all have, that we all struggle with. And oh, if you think you struggle with it less than others, look out. Because the truth is, God would have us stay in this place of humble dependence on Him. But the important thing to see here is the focus of where their lives are heading. Take a look at verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, hey, you can't avoid that. Sorry, it's going to happen. They may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. You see, what Peter is doing is telling them, you are not who you were. And you are not who they say you are. God has done something new in you, and you are children of light. And we need to know this. That's who we are. Charles Spurgeon wrote, in every believer there is darkness and light. And yet we are not called to be sinners because there is sin in us. We are to be called saints because we possess some degree of holiness. This is a very comforting thought to those who are mourning their weaknesses. Those who ask, can I be a child of God? Well, there is so much darkness in me. Yes. You, like the day, do not take your name from the evening, but from the morning. You are spoken of in the Word of God, as if even now you were perfectly holy like you will be in the future. You were called the child of light, though there is still darkness in you. You are named after the predominating quality in the sight of God, which will one day be the only principle remaining. Oh, imagine what it is going to be one day to leave these struggles behind. But in the meantime, there is help and satisfaction along the way. I've read elsewhere in Spurgeon this week, he's got a great book that I read every day called Morning and Evening. It's a series of devotionals for the morning and for the evening. And in this daily devotional, at one point he talks of the satisfaction of seeing a sin lie dead at your feet. And he said, the only parallel to that, that helps us imagine a little bit what it will be like at the end of days when Jesus casts Satan under his feet. But the point is, you and I, by the grace of God, are able to make progress. We really are. We really are children of light. We really can move forward into new places. We don't have to stay in the same place. You know, Dave Ramsey, I love his phrase, stuck on stupid. You and I can move into new light and love by the grace of God. There is more to us than we know. More accurately, more to God's Spirit than we know, because of His goodness that is at work within us. Because He handles our secrets gently and lifts us gently. And because He does, we are also to handle each other's secrets gently, aren't we? I mean, we're to be the kind of place where sinners can come and find love that reminds them of Jesus. And where saints who have sinned can find genuine, humble encouragement and love to help them do better. That's why Scripture advises us, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We don't have to carry our sins silently. Sometimes it's a good thing to go to someone and say, hey, you know, I'm wrestling with this. Would you pray for me? Now, I am really having trouble forgiving this person. And I know that's not right. Would you pray for me? Or I'm really struggling in this area of my life. And I need God's help. You know, that's not necessarily the sort of thing that you'd make known at a prayer meeting. Sometimes God may call you to do that. But it might be something that you know, the Lord leads you to someone. Here in the church family, that's what it's talking about when it says bear each other's burdens. But again, look at the end of the first verse. Watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Or you may also be tempted. And then go on to the third verse. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. I mean, isn't that what keeps people out of church so often? They come there and they feel judged because people forget how much they've been forgiven. The ground is level before the cross. And one of the things that I am so grateful for about this church is the way you have been there for us and handled some of our family secrets gently. I mean, you know, every family has their stories. But when you're a pastor, let me tell you, it's just out there for people to see, isn't it? And when we went through some really tough times, you loved us and you prayed for us. You held us accountable, but you didn't judge us. And I will always be so grateful for that. Because that's at the heart and that's at the spirit of what God does in His people. And as long as we have that as a church, we will continue to see miracles. And we need to long for that and ask for it all the more. To see what only God can do in a life. Oh, don't you want that? Don't you want to be able to look and see? And Jimmy, I hope you don't mind my mentioning it, but, you know, again, I mean, how many years has it been?
It's been a while.
It's been a while that Jimmy has been sober. And, you know, it's not a secret. It's okay for me to share that one night Ken and Marvin and I, Jimmy called us because he was desperate. He was ready to take his life. He had had too much to drink. He was in a bad place. And praise God, Jesus set him free. And Jimmy continues to feel loved and accepted by this church family. And that's just as it should be. And oh, don't we want to see more of that? I hope this is helpful for you. I hope it's helpful for you personally, especially if you've messed up lately. Because there's another thing that needs to be said in that regard. We don't want to be the kind of church that says, oh, well, you've messed up, and just kind of, oh, look the other way. That's a horrible thing. Because if these things wage war against our souls, then what are we doing by not helping each other and holding each other accountable in love? But you see, the thing is, Jesus doesn't come to us and say, hey, it's cool, you're just a sinner saved by grace. That's the world's way of saying things that has infected Christianity and Christian thinking today and still leaves us in our mess. No, Jesus comes to us and says, when we tell him what we've done, I know. But because I love you and I've saved you and placed my Spirit inside of you, you can do better. And you'll learn to. Come on. Take my hand. Let's go there. That's who he is. He walks with us into better places, step by step, day by day. You and I can come home before the Father in our hearts, day by day, justified. Just as if we hadn't sinned. And I love that. That's an amazing thing. That's why he told his people under the old covenant, and I like the way the New Living Translation puts this, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake and will never think of them again. Oh, praise God. That's what Jesus did for us at the cross. That's why he went. That's why we need to come to him and confess our sins so that he may cleanse us, his word tells us, cleanse us. And then he gives us his Spirit and washes us and regenerates us and makes us a new creation. It's his work. But oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That's why we have broken chains on the front of our bulletin this morning. Hasn't he done that for us? Doesn't he continue to do that? Hasn't he set us free? And because he has set us free, doesn't that mean that we are able to move? To move into new places? I mean, if this is true under the old covenant, how much more is it under the new covenant where Scripture tells us the blood of Jesus purifies us from all our sin? That's who you are. If you've received him. A story is told about a priest who was speaking with a woman in his congregation after service one day. And she told him that sometimes when she talks to God, he answers her. And the priest was a little doubtful about that. And he said, if God speaks to you, ask him what sin your priest committed when he was younger. I will, she answered. See, he had hung on to his sin for years, and though he had repented and turned from it long ago, he had never forgiven himself for it. The next week, he saw the woman again. Did you ask God? He asked her. Yes, she nodded. You asked him what sin your priest committed when he was younger. Yes, I did, she said. Well, he pressed. What did he say? She smiled. He said, I don't remember. May we pray. Do you know it? Do you know it? Is that you? Yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, I'm set free. If you've received him, if you're living with him in your heart, dying to self and living to God, oh, you can say it. And so I'd like to ask you gently, do you know him, really? Have you genuinely received him? So that you can say, yes, that's me, that's me. Because, oh, this would be a great moment to be able to say, yes, Lord, please. I want that. I want a new start. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be clean. He can do that. And if you come to him and say that, yes, Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me. If you place your faith in him, believe he died on the cross for your sins. If you ask him, come into my heart, come into my life. Help me to live with you and for you. Oh, don't believe the devil's lie that if you live for him, that he's going to make your life some kind of a mess, because no, he's going to make it better. So much better. Lord, thank you for your grace that claims us, that calls to us right now. We praise you for what you did for us at the cross. We praise you that you have never given up on us, that you give us your Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that you do beautiful things. You set captives free. And we can become brand new because of you. Oh, would you ask him for that gift right now? And if you already have, would you praise him for it? Because he loves you. He loves you. And longs to have you love him. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.